Blog Talk Radio.
Come with
oh,
it,
yeah,
come
here
with
we
it,
go.
Come with it.
Here we go, Rob.
Talk to the sports with the 12th.
I'm a no! Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's a franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now.
Time is now. In case you forgot, Rob, you never forget what time is it. It's time is now. You guys are talking sports with the 12th man on this beautiful, beautiful Tuesday evening. Of course, today is September the 30th. You are talking sports with the 12th man. I am Andre Peterson, joined by my co-host, Mr. Robert Ford. As always, got to check in with my cohort. Rob, how you doing this evening, sir?
Man, doing great, man. Couldn't be better. How about you?
I don't know, Rob. I don't know if you're really feeling good, man. Just making sure, man, because, you know, I was all, like, hyped up. Rob's like, yeah, I'm all right. You know, so. Anyway. I love it, man. That's what we got
to
do.
We're still
trying to, you know, we're going to get started. We obviously have a packed show. America, I just want to tell you, I know we have a heavy heart because both our teams didn't do that well this weekend. So this is almost like a therapy session for me, Rob. I don't know if this is for you, but almost like a therapy session. But, you know, anyway.
Having a repass.
You know, we'll definitely get through this. But once again, as always, we're going to throw out the numbers for those that want to join in and give us your thoughts, your feedback, all that fun stuff. If you want to call into the show, as we always invite you guys to do, the number to call in is 424-243-9519. Once again, that's 424-243-9519. We're also available, as Rob likes to talk about, always available on Facebook as well as on Twitter. If you want to follow us on Twitter, Twitter handle is at the number 12, THMANSports.com. And then finally, we are also available on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/12thmansports, if you put in Talking Sports with 12th Man, you'll see a lovely picture of myself, maybe one of Rob, I don't know. But anyway, that's how we do, as always. So without further ado, Robert, get this party started, sir.
Let's rock and roll with that.
We got a recap week four of the NFL. It was, you know, like we talked about, I know I said this before last week, but Rob, it really does seem like that the NFL, it's pretty unpredictable. You know, certain any given Sunday, we've heard that statement, Rob. One team can look really bad the next week and then, you know, surprise you. We'll talk about, obviously, that whooping that the Patriots got yesterday. I mean, I'm sure that was unexpected. But I don't know if there's anything you want to kind of kick off as we kind of recap week four of the National Football League, sir.
Well, yeah, you look at week four, I guess you just mentioned here, I think the Kansas City Chiefs was one of the highlights here, putting on a thrashing of the Patriots, 41-14 on Monday Night Football. Right from the get-go, it looked like Andy Reid had a fantastic game plan. They were very innovative offensively. They had a great plan for the Patriots. And quietly, they have a lot of weapons that are stepping up offensively. They've developed a 1-2 punch at the running back position now with Jamal Charles being back healthy and now Nile Davis. Alex Smith is playing good football. And Travis Kelce, I don't know where to get this tight end from, but out of nowhere, he's becoming one of the better tight ends in the National Football League for the Chiefs. And now all of a sudden, it looked like you might have an interesting race in the AFC West with Denver, San Diego, and now Kansas City maybe stepping up in contention. Of course, we mentioned both of our teams getting spanked over the weekend, so we got to give credit, of course, to the Dallas Cowboys. Very impressed with them as well.
I don't give credit.
you got to tip your hat to them. Over the last couple of years, you can say what you want about Jerry Jones and his boys, but they've quietly built one of the better offensive lines in the game. Tyron Smith is almost impossible to get around once he gets your hands on you. DeMarco Murray having an outstanding first four games of the season. Now the boys have won three in a row. So obviously you want to, they're one of the highlights over the weekend as well. And, of course, you know, Teddy Bridgewater in Minnesota looked like they might have something there. It'll be interesting to see if he's able to make it back this week with an ankle injury going against the Packers. And speaking of the Packers, they were also one of the highlights of the weekend, going on the road, winning in Chicago. And Rodgers in that passing game looked sharp with a 38-17 victory over the Chicago Bears. And one other team is quietly making noise, Detroit Lions, also 3-1, quietly playing very good defense this year.
Mm-hmm.
Lions stepping it up on the defense side of the football and playing really well. They get a win on the road at the New York Jets. So that's just a few teams. Obviously, you could talk about the 49ers. I thought the 49ers played outstanding defense against Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday as well. So also a tip their hats to them. With the Eagles, all three of the Eagles' touchdowns coming on defense and special teams, the 49ers defensively did a phenomenal job on the Eagles' offense as well.
Yeah, you know, pretty interesting weekend. You know, I don't want to kind of recap a lot of things. It was kind of painful for us, as if you're a Falcon fan, and you didn't expect it from Bridgewater, but you got to tip your hat, like you talked about, Rob. Some pretty good performances. You know, pretty surprising to see the Chiefs. I mean, you talked about, you kind of mentioned as far as them having some weapons. You know, obviously, what did Aaron Rodgers say to the Packers fan? He said, relax, and then obviously came out and put a whooping on the Bears. You know, so it was just, you know, just kind of interesting. And then you see, like, a team like the Bucks. You know, it's just interesting, Rob, how everything plays out. You didn't mention another you know, you talked about Steve Smith kind of went out, man. He iced up and just kind of went ham against his former team as well. So it's just been interesting, to say the least, Rob.
Yeah, absolutely. Steve Smith showing at 35 years old, he still got something left in the tank. And he wanted to prove it to the Carolina Panthers. And he did a phenomenal job. And quietly, the Ravens are 3-1, and Carolina 2 weeks in a row have gotten pretty spanked, pretty good too, by the Steelers and the Ravens the last couple of weeks. The Ravens are also a team that look like they're back in contention again as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's just been a very interesting thing, a very interesting scenario. If you didn't know, you know, obviously, just you want to highlight this as well. Just wanted to talk about Dennis Allen getting fired by the Raiders. You know, obviously, he must have took a different plane, Rob. But they started 0-4 on the season. They had an unfortunate injury with Derek Carr, promising young quarterback, I would say, Rob. But just seems like bad luck, and the Raiders seem to be a little hamstrung as a franchise right now. And so I don't know if. What's going to happen as far as that. I mean, obviously, Tony Soprano is going to be the interim head coach, but just an interesting turn of events for the Raiders, and they just seem to be, you know, like we talked about earlier, they just seem to be, we'll talk about that a little bit later on too, as well, too, but it's some interesting scenarios, too. I do want to talk about the next point that we have as far as the 49ers and Jim Harbaugh, and I guess if you're kind of hearing some rumblings across both sides, Robin, that some players have actually defended Jim Harbaugh, you know, Michael Crabtree and Alex Boone. So I'm kind of curious where this is coming from. I know Trent Dilfer had something interesting, how he was saying that the sideline looked a little dejected and they weren't as up. So I don't know what your thoughts about this scenario. I mean, I think it'd be a terrible move if you're the 49ers if you lose Jim Harbaugh, but, you know, maybe some rumblings about him going back to college. I don't know. What are your thoughts about this particular scenario, Rob?
Well, to me, it's hard to justify getting rid of a coach who's taking a team to three straight NFC championship games and even one Super Bowl here in the last 3 years. So to me, I think it'll be hard to justify making that kind of move. At the same time, Jim Harbaugh has never been in one place more than 4 years as a head football coach, and right now he's in his fourth year with the 49ers. And I think personally there's some rumblings within the front office that would like to move on. If you look at this football team so far, the 49ers this year have a lot of penalties. That's really unlike a Jim Harbaugh coach team. They usually are very disciplined And this year, I don't know, for whatever reason, I don't know if he's losing the team a little bit. But this is going to be very intriguing to watch because, once again, like I said, Harbaugh has never been at a place more than 4 years as a head coach. He's in his fourth year with the 49ers. He seems to be a little undisciplined as a team this year. And, of course, there's a great chance the University of Michigan head position may come available. And, obviously, they are going to want to talk to Jim Harbaugh as well as Oakland Raiders on the other side of the bay. I think they're going to want to talk to Jim Harbaugh as well. So it's going to be very intriguing to watch. But I would say if you're a 49er fan or 49ers front office, be careful what you wish for.
Where there's smoke, there's fire, Rob, like you talked about, too. That is a great statement, too. I don't know if Rob, this has something to do with, Jim Harbaugh's contract not being renewed at the end of the year. So that can possibly say something about some things. But, somebody that's taken this team to, some championship games, that you would think that they would be they'd be happy. So I don't know if they forgot where they were. I mean, maybe he's not Bill Walsh, but, he's definitely put them in position, and that team looks a lot better than, unfortunately, under the Mike Singletary days.
Well, absolutely. I mean, 10 times better than the Mike Singletary days. Winners? I want winners. But, of course, Mike Singletary never could develop his team into winners. Tim Harbaugh has done a phenomenal job taking over from Mike Singletary. Now, don't get it twisted. I think that when he inherited the 49ers position, I think the 49ers were a talented football team that just needed to get over the hump. So Harbaugh, I think, came at the right time.
Gotcha. I'm sure our Bay Area fans will definitely want to chime in, too, right now, as well, too. But, I want to thank Mike Singletary for giving us a lot of material moving forward for our show, too. Just want to throw that out there. So, let's talk about the NFL top five teams. Rob, I'm going to throw that over to you, Rob. Some top NFL teams. It's changed a little bit right now. There's just some teams that are probably top. So you got to throw Denver. You got to throw, once again, some usual suspects in there from Seattle, possibly. Green Bay is up there. But tell me your thoughts as far as the NFL top five teams, Rob.
Well, of course, there's only two undefeated teams in the NFL right now, so I had them in my top two. I think Cincinnati has been the most impressive team in the NFL so far this season. I think getting it done in all three phases of the game, you got to be impressed with what Marvin Lewis is doing there. Andy Dalton, of course, is going to be judged on whether or not he can win in the playoffs. That he has yet to do. But so far in the regular season, Dalton has been impressive. The Bengals have been able to have balance running the ball and throwing the ball. Defensively, they've done very well stopping their opponents. So right now, to me, they have been the best all-around team in the league so far this year. Number two, I have the Arizona Cardinals. They're the other undefeated team in the league. And, of course, their last couple of games, they've been without Carson Palmer. Drew Stanton has filled in admirably. But really, this Arizona Cardinals team is really led by their defense, very strong on that side of the football, getting it done, one of the better defenses in the National Football League as well. Number three, they have our reigning Super Bowl champions, the Seattle Seahawks, a few weeks ago with an impressive overtime win over Denver and what was probably one of our better games of the season in the NFL this year. Number four, I got Denver, and outside of losing in overtime in Seattle, they have been pretty perfect so far this year as well. And quiet as a kept, my number five team is the San Diego Chargers. They have been extremely impressive as well. Their only loss is a one-point road loss to Arizona. They have been pretty impressive with their other victories, beating Seattle at home and one of those victories as well. So far, I would say Phillip Rivers is probably having a career year. It looks like the best year he's having as an NFL quarterback. Another team is very good defensively as well, getting it done on both sides of the football. So I'll have the Chargers at the number five spot.
I like it, man. Good stuff as always. We're probably at a good halfway point of the game. So, as always, want to throw out some numbers. If you didn't know, once again, 424-243-9519. That is the number to call into the show. Once again, 424-243-9519. Tell us if we are crazy, if you like our top five. Rob threw a surprise in there with the cart with the Chargers. And, yeah, I definitely agree with you. The Cardinals are playing well. You got to throw them in there, as well as the Cincinnati Bengals. That's a great call as well. They've been playing really well. And this is going to be a try. This is going to be kind of one of those years, Rob, we're going to see the type of quarterback Andy Dalton is. So I know they kind of had a pretty modest deal for him, but this is definitely a time to see if he can get them to the next level, obviously. So, you know, we'll keep an eye on that situation as always.
Absolutely.
We've got the worst five. I love it. Is it time, Rob? And let's kind of like talk about this. Last night was kind of interesting because Tom Brady had a pretty rough, and the Patriots had a pretty rough game. And you hear some rumblings that maybe it's time that the Patriots are kind of getting old, and Bill Belichick's making a lot of mistakes. And what's the thought process? I heard somebody ask that question. I don't think it's time to bench Brady, but it's just his team, Rob. He's like not a good. It was due to, I guess, Bill Belichick being stubborn as far as not wanting to play. Players, if I can get that out. Lord have mercy. But what are your thoughts about the Patriots? And is it time to bench Tom Brady?
Well, obviously, I think New England is off to a rough start this year. They are 2-2. One of those victories, they just barely hung on to beat the Raiders at the end of the game at home. So Tom Brady has been very erratic, very un-Tom Brady-like so far this year. Last night alone, he had 3 turnovers in that football game. That was a direct result of him. And so, I would say no to benching Tom Brady. I think you have to give a player of that caliber more time. But at the same time, that's the thing you have to be careful with when you start getting into your late 30s, when you've had an elite career. You want to make sure you're not playing too long. You want to make sure you're still playing at a high level. And I still see you have to give a player of that caliber time to get out of his funk to see if he still has something left in the tank. And so I'm going to say no to benching Tom Brady as right now.
Yeah, Rob, and I think that's pretty much indicative on, him not having a good offensive line. Because any quarterback, if you, provide pressure, it's going to make it pretty tough for him. So I think that's more indicative of what's happening. I think the last wide receiver that Tom Brady had that was actually decent was Wes Welker. Right now he don't have a lot of weapons, and maybe it's Bill Belichick. Maybe certain things are catching up to him, but we're not quite there just yet. And I know a lot of you want to see Tom Brady's wife there, but we'll keep moving as always. I think, like you said, you did say it, that it's early in the season just yet. We'll see how they progress. If they continue this downward spiral, then, yeah, maybe we'll see what's going to happen or if there's going to be a change within the Patriots organization, Rob.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about the 5 worst teams in the NFL. I know we've probably got to say some 0-4 squads. You may want to go with, the Raiders. We'll talk about them, too. But what are your worst 5 teams in the NFL, Rob?
Well, right now you have to start with the Raiders. I had them number 32 right now. It's chaos in the organization, firing the head coach 4 games into the season, which I have mixed feelings about that. I don't understand firing the coach 4 games into the season. But it is what it is if you're Oakland Raiders. I have them at the number 32 spot. Number 31, Jacksonville, even though I think they're making the right decision by getting Blake Bortles in the lineup, letting him grow. Actually, even in defeat, played pretty solidly this past weekend against the Chargers. But they're still winless and still have to develop as a football team. So I had them at the number 31 spot. 30 right now at Tennessee. There's some questions about Jake. As far as being healthy and the backup quarterbacks are not that great. And they're not playing great defense either. So Tennessee is a little shaky right now, even though they won their opener. Right now I have them at number 30. And then number 29, I have the Washington Redskins. They got pummeled at home on Thursday night by the Giants. And obviously looked like Kirk Cousins coming back down to earth a little bit. And defensively, they're giving up a ton of points week to week to week. They're giving up 30 to 40 points every week. And 28, I have the New York Jets. You know, it's going to be interesting if they stick with Geno Smith or try to get something going with Michael Vick. But they're struggling offensively, playing decent defensively. Maybe a little weak in their back four and their secondary a little bit, but their front seven is still playing solidly. But right now they just can't score enough points. And so the Jets, I have him at the number 28 spot.
Good call, man. I'm not going to disagree, Rob. You know, I do want to say about the Jacksonville Jaguars, does it's kind of tough because you do seem like, Rob, they got the quarterback of the future. They made a great pick with Blake Bortles. He's got a bright future ahead of him. But, yeah, they just have to kind of continue to progress, if you will. But good call. Let's talk about Tony Soprano. I think you said earlier that Dennis Allen was fired after that London game going on four. He's the interim head coach of the Raiders. Do we have any coaches in the pipeline? Is John Gruden's name? You've heard about that. Is he going to make it out? And then obviously Reggie McKenzie, I don't think he's got to be on the hot seat as well too, Rob. What are your thoughts about the Raiders scenario?
Well, here's my thing with the Raiders organization. There's a lot of turmoil in that organization. The ownership is not stable as well. And so here's the thing. You're not going to attract an elite football coach to go to that organization right now. John Gruden, you're going to have to take a better job than that for him to lead Monday Night Football. And Jim Harbaugh, if he got an opportunity to go to Michigan or Oakland, you know, I think he'll pay his own way to get to Michigan. And as opposed to going to Oakland. And so right now, I think the only type of coach you're going to get to come to Oakland right now is somebody that is an experienced elite head coach is not going to go to Oakland right now with that organization being in turmoil. So obviously they're going to have to take an assistant who wants to take a shot at being a head coach, somebody of that caliber. You know, is what it's going to take for them to, you know, John Gruden, Jim Harbaugh. I know those are names that are being thrown around, but I just can't see either one of those guys, two proven coaches, going to the Oakland Raiders.
You're not going to throw your hat to the ring there, Rob?
Oh, well, you know, if they want to turn an organization around, I'm the perfect guy for the job. You know, we'd be 19-0 every year. You know, winning championships. You know, so if they really want to win, you know, I'm the person to call.
Gotcha. That's on PlayStation 2, by the way. But, all right, let's keep moving here. Man.
Nobody plays PlayStation 2 anymore. That's real life.
Yeah, that's real. That's PlayStation. That's PlayStation video games. Let's talk about Rob. Silently, and we hate to bring this up too, but DeMarco Murray is looking pretty good, and seems like the Cowboys have some semblance of having a dominant offensive line, and it doesn't hurt to have that to run behind. But what do you think about DeMarco Murray? Is he the best running back in the NFL? Now, I know Jamaal Charles can probably give him a run for his money. There's, you know, you got the Shady McCoy, a lot of good backs, but how do you think DeMarco stands up right now as currently in the NFL?
Well, he's definitely right up there, that's for sure. You know, reads his blocks well. He's got great speed. He's got great power. So you have to throw his name in there. Obviously, he's got one of the better offensive lines in the game. And I found out an interesting stat right now is he is averaging 100 yards a game before someone is even touching him. And I found it very interesting. When you evaluate that kind of statistic, you got to credit your offensive line. That means every game he's averaging at least 100 yards before even being touched by a defender. And so when you look at that aspect, You have to credit his offensive line for a lot of what he's doing. Not taking anything away from him. He's obviously doing a great job reading his blocks, which in all respect, that's what running backs are supposed to do, is read their blocks, read the defenses, find the right cutback lanes and things of that nature. He's doing a phenomenal job with that as well. Obviously, Jamaal Charles was shaking up a little bit the first 2 to 3 games, and last night just came out of nowhere, had a phenomenal game, both receiving the football and running. We look at LeSean McCoy. He's off to a shaky start so far this year as well. Matt Forte finally had a big game, even in a loss to the Packers this past weekend. So I guess if you have to say here, you have to say the combination of DeMarco Murray and the Cowboys offensive line, they have the best running game in the league so far.
Good call. I do want to get to our fantasy shout-outs. We've got about 4 minutes left. I want to talk briefly about some NFL predictions and all that fun stuff. So these are two good games I want to talk about. You got Houston at Dallas, and I would love to hear comments about this. So Houston has that revamped defense. You know, is it going to be a challenge? They're at Dallas. Is it going to be a challenge for them to play in Big D? What are your thoughts about this particular game, Rob?
I like Dallas at home. I mean, I was very impressed with them the other night. And Houston on the 3-4 defense, I don't think they're going to be able to stop Dallas's running game. Dallas right now, defensively, Dallas is still not very great, but what they're doing, they're protecting their defense. We're having a running game in balance offensively, controlling the clock, keeping their defense off the field. And I expect Dallas to do more of the same. I don't think Houston is going to be able to score with them either. And so, yeah, I like Dallas in this game by at least 2 touchdowns over Houston.
This is a
good game. We got a lot of listeners in Houston, so I apologize to our Texans fans.
That's okay. I mean, we always be pretty objective, too, so that's what it's all about. We got about a quick – I do want to set this up real quick before we talk about fantasy shout-outs here. Arizona at Denver, great game. What do you think about this real quick, Rob?
I think Arizona gets their first loss, Denver at home. Both teams coming off a bye week. I think Peyton Manning will be ready. I think it will be a close game, though. I think we're talking 3-7 points victory. I think we're talking about a 24-17 type victory for Denver at home.
We got 2 minutes and 37 seconds. I do want to throw some fantasy shout-outs as well as get ready to set up the OT portion. So, Rob, I'm going to leave that in your hands.
All right. We just wrapped up week number 4 in fantasy football. Real quickly, I'll go through this. In our league number 1, Big Fast and Strong is in first place right there in the Atlanta area. My co-host, Straight Cash Homie, had the biggest win of the weekend. Woo-hoo! League 1, 168.98 over the champions here. The champions here only putting up 50.42 points. In league number 2, it's my year, right from the New Orleans area, is holding down the first place spot. And the biggest win of the weekend is Saints Pelicans, also right here in the New Orleans area, scoring 213 points. Wow. 213.88 over the Pellies, 140.88. And now Money League, the champ is here, is in first place at 4-0. The biggest win of the weekend, Larry's Meat Team over the King, 178.54 to 87.48, almost 100-point victory for Larry's Meat Team. So we certainly appreciate all of you all for continuing to compete with us in fantasy football. And we're going to be having a fantasy basketball draft coming up here probably within the next month sometime as training camp is just starting. But we're going to wrap up our program, our live portion of our show as of right now. We do have an OT portion that's going to last about 15 minutes. Of course, we cannot give that to you live, unfortunately. But tune on this, click on the same link on tomorrow. You can get this OT portion. We still have some NBA to cover. We have a big weekend in college football, probably one of the better weekends in college football thus far. So you don't want to miss this OT portion. Definitely tune in to that on tomorrow by clicking on the same link. And then next week we'll be back to you live on next Tuesday night, people.
Love it, Rob, as always. Good job with the wrap-up. And as Rob mentioned, we want to thank you for listening. Thank you for joining us in all of our fantasy leagues. We're making a comeback. We're going to send some notes out for people that that seem to kind of like drop a little bit. I know some teams have some players on bye, so I just want to make sure they're on point. But we'll see you guys same time, same channel. Of course, we'll let you guys know as far as the time for the show. After that, good night, people.
Good night, people. 11 p.m. Eastern next Tuesday night.
And we are officially into the OT portion. I always like to wait for Rob to say that little, that's my little cue whenever he says good night, people. So, you know, it's always important to that. So I'll let you know if you got like a couple seconds as long as we get that cut off right before we jump into the OT portion. But let's talk about, the NBA is right around the corner. Before I do want to mention, I do want to say this, Rob, and we didn't get a chance to talk with us last week, but I just want to send just a special shout-out to Derek Jeter. What a class act, man. This dude, a legend, was kind of was right there watching whenever we had a chance to watch his career. Man, just a phenomenal guy, man. So I just want to throw that out there, too, real quick. So that's my little – I don't know if you want to add anything to that, too, man. I was just impressed with this guy's career, man, just how he does it, and just very professional. And it was just a sad moment to see him kind of have his last game. But, you know, way to go out on top.
Absolutely. Well, I'm glad you brought that up. You know, I'm a Yankee fan, and I don't want to come across as, trying to take over the show talking about Derek Jeter. But, obviously, as you mentioned, a class act, 20 years in Major League Baseball, one of the best shortstops of all time, led the Yankees to 5 world championships, and also ended a great weekend delivering the game-winning run in his last home game in Yankee Stadium, even going out with a base hit against the Red Sox in Boston. And I want to tip my hat to the Red Sox and their organization and their fans as well for even stepping up and congratulating Derek Jeter in Boston. And sometimes I'm very critical, and I always like to say how much I hate the Red Sox, but I'm going to tip my hat to the Red Sox and how they show class in organizing that going-out celebration for Derek Jeter in Boston this past Sunday. I thought it was very classy.
Good points, as always. So anyway, that was my little curveball. So let's keep it moving here. Let's talk about some NBA training camps to talk where they're starting. Rob, I'll let you kind of pick the 10 individuals you think have something to prove this particular NBA season.
Well, I'll try to get through this pretty quickly. Of course, number one, I'm going to start off with Derrick Rose, coming off of a couple of years worth of injuries. Obviously, if he's healthy and is anything close to what he's played when he's healthy in the past, this Bulls team has got a chance to compete in the Eastern Conference. I think Paul Gasol was phenomenal in the World Championships. If he can play anything close to that level and Derrick Rose is healthy, you got probably the only team that may be able to compete with Cleveland in the Eastern Conference. So I think Derrick Rose, of course, has got a lot to prove. He's got to stay healthy in order to show how far he can take this the Chicago Bulls team, too. Number two, Kevin Love. Obviously, he's put up a lot of big numbers, scoring the basketball, rebounding the basketball with the Minnesota Timberwolves over the years. I think we got to see how well he can play in the secondary role to LeBron James and Kyrie Irving. I think he's one of the better outlet passers with defensive rebounding. And I think if he can bring some of that to Cleveland, they can have a phenomenal year. But I think the thing he's got to improve, he's got to prove that he can get it done on the defensive end as far as guarding players and things of that nature. So that's one of the big reasons why I have him on this list. The one thing Cleveland doesn't have right now is a rim protector. So there's a lot that's going to be asked of Kevin Love to see if he can be somewhat of a rim protector for that team. I know there's some talk about them trying to acquire Roy Hibbert to try to help him, but we'll see if that comes into place. So right now, a lot's going to be asked of Kevin Love. Number three, Kobe Bryant, of course. Obviously, I know he has 5 championships, but I think he's another one that's going to have a lot to prove. The Lakers team was one of the worst teams in the league last year, and we have to see how well he's going to come back from injuries. Does he have one more run in him or not? So we'll see. Looks like he is healthy, so we'll see if he has another run in him or not. Number four is Phil Jackson, not a player, but as an executive, of course. Can he build his Knicks organization to a winner? I think it's going to be very interesting. I think this Knicks team can possibly sneak into the playoffs this year. You know, he challenged Carmelo Anthony to lose weight and get better shape so he can be the feature player in that triangle offense. So it's going to be interesting to see right there how will Phil Jackson evolve as an executive. Number five, Kevin Durant. Can he get over a hump? Can he lead his team to a championship? You know, can he take that next step? You know, so that's the question of Kevin Durant. Number six, DeMarcus Cousins. Phenomenal in the World Cup this summer. Can he take this Sacramento Kings team on his back and take him to the playoffs? He's got the twos. He's got the physical twos. Can he get serious? Can he focus? Can he lead this team to the next level? DeMarcus Cousins. Number seven, Eric Bledsoe. You got Goran Dragic there in Phoenix. Can he be the true point guard and let Dragic move over to the two and have two solid ball handlers in Phoenix? This is a team that just missed the playoffs last year. Can he get them over the hump? Just got a new big contract in Phoenix as well. Number eight, Chris Bosh. He's going to be the number one focal point with the Heat. Can he be that number one scoring option like he was with Toronto over 4 or 5 years ago and still keep the Miami Heat as a top 4 or 5 team in the Eastern Conference? So a lot is going to be asked of him this season without LeBron James. Number nine, Chris Paul. This is another player that just can't seem to get past the second round of the playoffs. Can he lead a talented Clippers team to the next level as well? And last but not least, number 10, Deron Williams. I thought Deron Williams had a very disappointing season last year. I think he's gotten into better shape. I think this is a talented veteran team he has in the Brooklyn Nets. But it's going to be up to Deron Williams to get in better shape and get back to elite point guard status of where he was a few years ago.
Good call, Rob. Man, you kind of went through that with quickness. But, yeah, I love it. I know I do want to get to some college football, too. But real quickly, you think that's the best backcourt in the NBA? Is it the Cavaliers with Kyrie and I'm taking that back here. I'm going to take a sec. Is it the Golden State Warriors with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson? What are your thoughts about the best backcourt real quick in the NBA before we get to college?
Wow, I think I'm going to go slightly with the Washington Wizards, Bradley Beal and John Wall.
Okay.
I think those two combined, I was going to put them slightly ahead of the Warriors with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. I think Steph Curry out of those four is the best player, but I think combined Wall and Bradley Beal might be slightly better than Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. And you like the size of that backcourt, too, with John Wall and Bradley Beal, too. I'm going to go slightly with the Washington Wizards having the best backcourt in the league right now.
7 minutes.
Cleveland.
Keep going. You're good. Keep going.
We got to see more of Dion Waiters before we can put Cleveland in that mix.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I just like the talent they got there. I was going to tell you that you would give the slight edge to the athleticism maybe of Wall and Beal. You know, obviously, they've got great size. Shooting, you may give the edge to Steph Curry and to Klay Thompson, but, you know, both of those are phenomenal backcourts, and we'll see how those continue to progress. All right, let's get into some college football predictions. This is a great weekend. We're going to fire through these pretty quickly and give us your thoughts. So number 3, Alabama, at number 11, Ole Miss. I like Alabama in this particular contest. Rob, what's your predictions for this particular game?
I like Ole Miss in the upset at home by 3 points in the game. They pull up Robin and Kimchi. Ole Miss got some talented players. Bo Wallace, solid at the quarterback position. I like Ole Miss in the upset.
Interesting pick. All right, let's talk about the next set. Number 15, LSU at number 5, Auburn. I know as an LSU fan, shocked to see what happened. But tell us your thoughts about this particular game.
Of course, if I was picking with my heart, I would have to go with LSU here. But I like Auburn at home here. But I think the game is going to be closer than the expert thinks. I think LSU may have finally found a quarterback. Which a lot of LSU fans have been screaming for, freshman Brandon Harris, for the control the ball, with a rocket arm, can run as well. But I think, you know, as a freshman going on the road to Auburn, I think he'll have some success, but I like Auburn in a close game.
Gotcha. That's a good call. We'll see. Let's talk about the number 19 Nebraska, number 10 Michigan State. I like Michigan State in this particular example, but tell us your thoughts once again about this particular matchup.
Yeah, I like Michigan State by about 10 points at home. Defensively, they're getting it done still. And, I think they're just a better football team as well.
Arizona at number 2, Oregon. This should be kind of I think Oregon should definitely handle business versus Arizona. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a shootout, two high-scoring teams, but I like Arizona. I'm sorry, not Arizona. I like Oregon to win by about 10 to 14 points. I'm looking at like a 45-31 kind of game with Oregon winning.
Gotcha. We've got about 5 minutes left. Let's talk about number 6, Texas A&M at number 12, Mississippi State. This is probably one of the better games of the weekend, Rob. Kenny the Thrill doing his thing for Texas A&M. This is one squad, I think we predicted this earlier, to kind of make some hay. They may, like you talked about, represent in the championship, Rob. I think they would give Florida State, if we have them thinking they're going to progress that far without these hookups, I think they can give Florida State some trouble. And like you said, I think they actually pulled off. But I'm a huge fan of Texas A&M. Either this is going to be a great game.
Here's the deal here. Texas A&M, with all the success they're having offensively, they still don't quite yet have an SEC defense. And Mississippi State, as we saw this past weekend, Arkansas just ran all over Texas A&M, even though they lost. And Mississippi State can run the ball better than Arkansas and have the quarterback that can run as well. Dak Prescott, I don't know if you've seen this kid play, but he's a Tim Tebow with more speed. He's big, he's tall, he can run from the quarterback position. I like Mississippi State at home in this one.
Gotcha. Good call. 3 minutes. Let's do Ohio State at Maryland, number 28. Ohio State at Maryland.
Ohio State wins on the road on this one, 14 points.
At number 14, Stanford. At number 9, Notre Dame.
I like Notre Dame by about 7 points at home in this one.
Number
is playing phenomenal.
Yeah, he is, man. Good call. I'm trying to get through this too, Rob. You're doing fantastic. You got some time, a little bit. Good calls, even though that's another one of those good games too. Maybe a home field advantage to Notre Dame. Number 4, Oklahoma. At number 25, TCU, Rob.
I like Oklahoma to go on the road and beat TCU, and I think they can beat them by about 21 points at TCU.
We've got Baylor at Texas, number 7, Baylor, at Texas, and Charlie Strong maybe getting like a lot of heat for all what he's been doing, but I think he's doing things the right way. You got to be patient with him. Baylor should pull this off, only because of right now, not due to the fact that Texas is not 100%. They're still getting their players up. Go ahead, I'll let you comment on that real quick.
Yeah, I think Texas keeps this game close for a while. Baylor pulls out in the end a little bit, wins by 10 points on the road.
Good call. And my team, Miami at Georgia Tech, I'm glad you put that in there, Rob. What are your thoughts about this particular matchup?
Well, I like Georgia Tech at home. I don't think Miami's going to slow down the triple option game. I like Georgia Tech to win this game at home.
Gotcha. And that's it. We were able to fit everything in, man. What a great job, Rob. Man, we've wrapped up another edition of Talking Sports 12th, and we got 2 minutes right on the dot, 11:43. Go ahead and wrap us up, and we're going to say goodnight after your wrap-up, sir.
Yeah, we certainly appreciate you all tuning in. Continue to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. We always got some exciting stuff going on. Pay attention. We got a fantasy basketball league coming up for those basketball fans out there. We'll be hopefully posting that real soon within the next week here as well. So definitely pay attention to that. But join us on next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. Our friends in Hawaii, aloha. It's going to be 5 p.m. For our good friends in Hawaii. Once again, join us on next Tuesday night. Continue to talk lots of football, people. Good night.
And a quick shout-out to what a great game, too, for the Major League postseason, the wild card game. Oklahoma at KC. KC just tied it up. That's a great game, too. So I just want to say that that's been good. So anyway, that's my 5 cents, Rob. Have a good evening, sir.
I didn't know Oklahoma had a baseball team.
No, Kansas. Oh, you're crazy. Yeah, the Kansas City Royals. What did I say? Did I say the Kansas City or the Oakland Raiders? Or Oakland, no, Oakland.
You meant Oakland, not Oklahoma City.
I was looking at it. I'm going to say